Now we're joined from New Market, Indiana, by Wayne Nelson of L&M Commodities to take up these numbers and talk about the rest of the trade and maybe preview a bit of what's going to happen next Tuesday with world agricultural supply and demand estimates. Good morning to you, Wayne.
Good morning, Todd.
Well, let's start with the world agricultural supply and demand estimates. I don't think we have any pre-report numbers out yet. Yeah, but the expectations, I suppose, are for things not to change a lot other than for maybe yields to go up. Is that the case?
I think that there's a little talk that we might raise our bean export number along with raising our bean production number that might offset each other is sort of the feeling that's going around the trade right now. I think, you know, like I said, we've seen FC Stone's numbers later this morning. We should see Informa's numbers, both of them, you know, basically pretty much in line with what the government said last month. I think that, you know, there's some questions of whether the Eastern Corn Belt was as good as what the government said, but there's also the same fact that the West might be better than what they said. So all in all, sort of a even keel when you add the total together. So not much surprises there.
Given the crop progress numbers, we should have some pretty hard and fast numbers for the November WASDE report. And that should give us a good idea what this crop looks like. Of course, they'll begin tallying all these things up for the January final report. And that's when USDA, National Agricultural Statistics Service, or NAS, makes some final changes. Any expectations that acreage will change at all?
I don't think we'll see a lot of change in the acreage as far as we're going along here, Todd. There might be a little bit, but most of that was taken into effect last month when we got the prevented plant acres, the failed acres, and that from the FSA offices. So I think that should pretty well be in there for this report, already in the report before the January report.
Yeah, those are normally dovetailed right into the October report. And so we've got some numbers that tell us that we have a sideways to what direction, higher or lower?
We would like to think a little bit higher. We generally have a post-harvest rally. As you know, like you said, with the completion numbers of harvest, we're basically in the post-harvest for beans here right now, and very close to finishing this all up here in the corn also. So we'd like to think we'd see a little bit of strengthening. You know, we can tell that they want to buy corn over here in Indiana. Local bids are somewhere about 24 over for corn for delivery now. At the ethanol plants, so that's saying it's a very tight situation, and they'd like to price some back out of the farmers' hands, or at least buy the last part of harvest here.
There are some deficit areas, and you're in one of them, parts of Indiana, parts of Ohio, where the corn crop wasn't very good. How long will it take before those basis levels get straightened out and we begin to really see an influx of corn from other parts of the Midwest filling that void, do you suppose?
I think that we're going to start to see probably after in December, the first of the year, when the farmers let loose of some corn in the western and northern areas, and then we're going to see what trains are going to cost to come into these areas, and that's going to put a cap on our basis levels for here. But it's going to depend on farmer movement in the other areas to have them be able to ship the trains out of those areas.
Yeah, so are there opportunities then for farmers in those deficit areas to at least lock in basis at a very high level, do you suppose?
Oh, yeah. We locked in some 30 over December shipment corn here for quite a few of our customers here last week, and we still think that those sort of levels are very good to be putting in. You know, do you want to flat prices and buy a call out there? Do you want to just put a basis on and leave the top open? We can wait and see here, but that's up to the farmer. But we do think that they should be taking advantage of those big basis pushes.
You know, can I take you back and have you explain what that really means when you lock in the basis for corn in this case, and what a producer is really doing with the grain elevator?
Basically, instead of setting a flat price, I mean, whenever you sell corn today, if we said that they were selling it at 24 over, why, that would be December price on the board plus 24 cents, and that would be their cash price. Now, they can go ahead and put it at 24 over and leave the board as it goes up or down. That would be what they would get when they actually deliver the grain.
All right, and so basically they say, I like the fact that you're 24 cents over the price in Chicago at this point, but I'm not ready to sell you the grain, so let's lock in that 24 cents. And then whenever I do sell the grain, we'll just add 24 cents to whatever that price is.
Yeah, and I mean, and basically the reason that they like to do that is generally as the board goes up, the basis doesn't have to go as high because the flat price would still be higher, and it's a flat price that most farmers are looking for. So we're thinking that if it sold at a 30 over and the board would go up 20 cents, it probably wouldn't be 24 over.
Yeah, thanks for that explanation. A couple things. You heard me read the news up front. Interesting that John Deere has decided to buy Precision Agriculture from Monsanto and Climate Corporation. That's the group, for those who aren't quite familiar with Precision Ag, that has made the add-on devices mostly for Case IH planters to this point, I think. Actually, I'm almost positive, that allows those planters to run sometimes at 10 miles an hour. So they're kind of consolidating things. It'll be interesting to see what they've done with that. And they made a deal, too, on FieldView, which is their big data product. And I guess we'll talk about some of that with John Jansen when we get to the Farm Assets Conference, Wayne. I'm looking forward to having you there at the end of this month.
Yeah, it's going to be a great opportunity for a lot of things. A lot of this big data, a lot of the technology that's out there now is going to be so important to be making money in the next couple of years with these tight commodity prices.
All right. Thanks so much. We'll talk with you again this afternoon.
Thanks, Todd.
That, of course, is Wayne Nelson. He's at L&M Commodities in Newmarket, Indiana. Joins us on a Tuesday to take a look at the marketplace. We'll be back at 6 after the hour of 2 o'clock this afternoon during the closing market report. You can see him, too, live, if you'd like, at our Farm Assets Conference that comes up at the end of this month. It's just $30 for the tickets. We'll be in Bloomington Normal at the Marriott Conference Center and Hotel. That's actually right there on the Illinois State University campus or adjacent to it. So if you're interested, $30. You can buy your tickets online at farmassetsconference.com. See the whole of the agenda, willag.org as well, or just dial this number, 800-898-1065. That's 800-898-1065. Buy your tickets this week for me so we can get a good count. We'll get a really good start on the folks that are going to come to that Farm Assets Conference. And thanks in advance for hooking up with us. And I hope to see you in Normal on the 24th day of November. That's the Tuesday prior to Thanksgiving. We're coming up on the top of the hour. It'll be 10 o'clock in the central time zone. The weather forecast tells us areas of fog still before noon today. Otherwise, it'll be partly sunny. We're on our way to a high of 65 degrees, calm winds. Partly dense fog after 9 this evening as well. Partly cloudy, a low of 51. Tomorrow, patchy dense fog before 9 in the morning. Partly sunny and 71. This is Illinois Public Media, WILL AM 580, WILL FM 90.9, HD3 Urbana. It's the top of the hour.